All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
It's the Tron theme.
That's great.
I can't talk about Tron?
Well, issue 5 did come out this week.
Did it?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think that was 2 weeks ago, sir.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I thought I saw it on the rack.
No,
this
sir.
Week.
It's 2 weeks ago, sir.
On the new releases. Are you
no,
sure?
No, sir. 2 weeks ago. Was it a dude trapped in like the old Tron video game on the cover?
No, I don't think it was. I think a new issue came out this week.
I don't think so, sir. I think you're wrong.
Okay. I could be. I mean, I'm not always
I'm pretty
right.
Sure. I'll tell you what is new. My Tron big figure from Disney.
That's a pretty looking figure. I like the Disney big figs.
I'm not so much a fan of the Disney big figs. However, I'm a fan of Tron, and this one lights up, sir.
I know. I saw.
Whole body lights up.
Hear reaching that, Andrew? He said, sir, not me.
Reaching up for the disc like this, like the poster.
Uh-huh.
And what's he's got to be like, what, 14 inches tall?
No. Is he that tall?
He's bigger than a 12-inch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He's got to be. With his arms extended up like
oh,
that?
Oh, well, maybe with his arms extended,
I mean,
but he's a 12-inch scale.
No, there's no way he's a 12-inch scale. Dude, he's much taller than that.
Okay.
I say he's like 14 inches if he was standing with his arms down, but he's got his arms way up and he's reaching for the disc. That's got to be 18 inches.
He just keeps growing.
I mean, with the arms up and everything. He lights up all inside the body. That's a really cool figure. If you've never seen it, Tron Big Fig. Try to look up pictures of it. Try to look up pictures of it where it's illuminated in a dark room. Because, man, it looks fantastic in Studio A when the lights are out and it's on. Really, really fantastic.
Okay.
Anyway, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Episode 99, Catch Up, Part 2, Cutting the Mustard.
Cutting the Mustard? God, this show slips more and more into shit.
Dude,
every time you say something.
Dude, shut up. My girlfriend said I had to use mustard in the title.
Ugh.
She said I had to use mustard.
Okay.
I said I would do it.
Okay. Mitch Fatel.
Right. Episode 99, Catch a Part 2, Cutting the Mustard.
Okay, okay. Calm down.
Shut up. She's right there.
All right.
She's in the studio.
Yeah, that's great. Can we do this show?
Sure.
The whole idea of why we're sitting here is to do a show.
Presumably you have something to say.
Presumably I do. Why don't we talk about Jonah Hex? Do you read Jonah Hex?
I did read Jonah Hex, but I do not any longer read Jonah Hex.
Well, why not?
I didn't enjoy the new book as much as I had enjoyed previous incarnations.
All right. Well, you know that it's coming to the big screen, right?
I heard a very terrible rumor to that effect.
Well, it's no longer a rumor.
Oh,
it's
goody.
Happening. Looks like it's going to be probably sometime in the future. They're working on a script right now, but it's definitely been greenlit. And, you know, it's coming from Warner Brothers and DC, obviously. And there it is.
Brian K. Vaughan's Why the Last Man, which I know is a book that you've recently picked up and started reading, right?
Yes, I love Wide Light. I'm actually on graphic novel number 4, or I just finished 4. So
I have not read a single issue of this book, and if another person calls, writes, emails, comes up to me in person, says, I need to read Why the Last Man, I'm going to get a copy of Why the Last Man, and I'm going to stick it in their ass. Because I'll read it, I promise. And now DC is going to make it really easy for me to read it, because Why the Last Man, getting the hardcover treatment, sir.
Getting like that ultimate fancy not absolute.
I don't think per se, but each hardcover volume will include the contents of 2 trade paperbacks.
Okay,
so the entire 60 issue run of the book will be 5 hardcovers.
Okay,
so that's nice. Now those I'll read. You know, that's a nice addition to my my bookshelf. And I'll finally get to read it, and everyone can get off my back about it, okay?
All right.
Okay, everyone, you know who you are out there. Get off my back about Why the Last Man. Well, I promise I'm going to read it. You know? I'm just saying. I promise I'm going to read it.
Okay.
If you just leave me alone.
Okay. Why don't we talk about Matthew McConaughey?
Okay.
He don't come up on this show very often.
No, he doesn't.
And I'm not entirely sure that he should come up today, but I thought that I should bring this to the show. He was recently offered the role of one Magnum P.I.
For the movie?
For the movie.
And he said no.
Actually, he has not commented one way or the other, which leads me to believe that he's at least considering it. Because if they don't want to do it normally, it's a flat out...
Yo, no, Selleck is available.
Selleck is available. It's true.
So why would they be replacing him?
I don't know.
I think that's a sacrilege.
I like Matthew McConaughey. He's a good actor.
Reimagining Magnum P.I.?
Yeah, sure. They did it with Miami Vice.
As a young, crazy blonde guy? Yo, McConaughey is loopy.
Yeah, he got the nutty.
Yeah, he does.
He's a couple of his wires have shorted out.
Do you know who Robin Moore is?
I feel like I should know who Robin Moore is.
You probably won't know who he is, but I'm going to tell you who he is.
Okay.
In late February, he died.
Okay. That's terrible.
Now, why is he significant to us? He is the author of the novel The Green Berets.
Okay.
And he is co-writer of the song The Ballad of the Green Berets.
Okay.
Fighting soldiers from the...
Oh, well, there you are. You're hearing it right now. The Ballad of the Green Berets. He co-wrote that with Barry Sadler. Did I say that already?
No.
He co-wrote that song with Barry Sadler. It was a huge hit.
Just what they say.
But comic fans might want to remember Robin Moore as the writer of the comic strip. Ready for this?
Okay.
Tales of the Green Berets.
All right.
Which featured art by
100 men.
No idea.
Think 60s, think military comics.
60s. What's his name? Dover.
Kubert.
Daddy Kubert.
Daddy Kubert or Joe Kubert, as he likes to be called. Daddy Kubert, only by certain... No, that's not true. Unless, of course, we're calling the Kubert boys Adam and Andy, young ladies. Robin Moore, who was up to his ass in Green Beret projects his whole life, he died in late February. I wanted to bring that to everyone's attention.
All right. Well, while we're talking about remakes, do you know what they're remaking now?
No, I'm sure I'm going to be upset about it.
You're going to be upset. Think mid-80s. Think bad movie with a robot. Think
80s.
Terrible racial stereotypes. Your mama was a snowblower. Nothing?
Bad. Wait, all right. 80s.
Bad. 86 was the year the movie came out.
86. Okay, was it animated or live action?
Live action.
Live action movie, and it had a robot in it.
It had a robot in it.
And it was 86. And it was
86.
Bad
stereotype. It starred Steve Guttenberg, Ali Sheedy.
Batteries not included.
Ooh, no. It's Short Circuit.
It is Short Circuit. They're remaking Short Circuit.
Really?
Wait, which one was Batteries Not Included?
That was the one with the...
That was a Spielberg film.
Yeah, it was the old people lived in that like apartment complex in New York.
Sir,
are they little alien
things? Can we stop? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can we stop, please?
No.
The film starred Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy, amongst others.
I already thought of Jessica Tandy when he said old people. If it's in the 80s and it has old people, I assume Jessica Tandy's in it. You didn't have to clarify
Hume
that
Cronin
point.
And Jessica Tandy, who are actually married in real life, by the way.
And that's what they play well together.
And it was also that big dude whose name I can't remember, the big black guy. And it's actually some other kind of character actors that appeared in that film.
Yeah.
That was a good, Batteries Not Included was a good flick, but you're talking about Short Circuit.
I am talking about
the
Short Circuit.
Ali Sheedy classic.
That's I don't remember racial stereotypes in that.
The guy who played the Indian was white.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I don't want to get off on the topic. Did you hear this movie about this movie called Tropic Thunder? This new Ben Stiller movie
coming
out?
Yeah, the new Ben Stiller movie.
Go check out the trailer, because in the movie, Robert Downey Jr. plays like this Australian actor, like the actor's actor, who undergoes plastic surgery in order to play the black guy in the film.
Oh, yes.
You have got to see his performance in the trailer. It is absolutely hysterically funny. But Short Circuit, what about it? Remake.
Dimension Films, you know, the Weinsteins, they're remaking it. They've gotten S.S. Wilson and Brent Maddock, who created the characters and wrote both of the original films, to write the remake. And there it is.
Have we seen the robot yet?
No. But I hope they don't change it too much.
No, that would be really bad.
I think they will. I don't think the robot will have treads anymore.
Well, they might have to change it, because what's that Disney movie that's coming out with the little robot that looked like Johnny Number 5? WALL-E. A short version.
Yeah, WALL-E kind of looks like this shit offspring of Johnny Number 5.
Johnny Number 5 is kind of like WALL-E meets like... What was the robot from Nintendo? Gyrosphere.
Rob.
The robot-operated
buddy.
So there you go. Well, why don't we stick with robot-related films that are coming out? How about we talk about this little doozy that I can't believe you didn't know about prior to this? RoboSapien rebooted.
Why?
I don't know. They're making a RoboSapien movie based off the Wowie robot toy. You've heard us talk about it on this show quite a lot.
A long time ago.
And there you go. It's going to be animated, probably 3D style. And, you know.
It's roughly this big.
Yeah.
12,
white and black.
White. Uh-huh.
White and black. Yeah, yeah.
They have them at Best Buy?
They were at Best Buy. They're not at Best Buy anymore.
He, like, dances and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These
are like karate chops.
As far as consumer electronic robotics go, it was a pretty good piece. All the incarnations were pretty good pieces, but it's just kind of, it's over. We need something else.
Let's be honest. The best thing that ever came out of WoW was that chimp head.
That was pretty cool. The animatronic chimp head. That was a pretty good piece.
Creeped me to hell out, but it was cool. So there you go. RoboSapien rebooted.
I know you're going to be very happy to hear that there's some Star Trek comic news.
Ooh, I couldn't care less. Ooh,
I know. Star Trek Mirror Images, which is going to be by Scott and David Tipton and David Messina, is going to explore the intriguing mirror universe that spins out of the original episode Mirror Mirror, where an alternate universe, if you will, where Kirk is evil and all of our Star Trek friends are evil. This series is going to come out of that. This tale, which is coming out, will explain how evil Kirk rises to power, unseating Captain Pike in his quest for commanding the Enterprise. It's going to come out in June.
Okay.
And it's another one of these things that they're doing with Star Trek that they're, you know, you can't kill this license or this franchise.
Star Trek? Well, no, especially you have a new movie coming out.
New movie, new comics all the time.
New toys
all the time. Playmates got the license back, apparently, to do the figures from the new movie. I mean, it's just, there's so much stuff happening for Star Trek. It's like, I don't know. What's a thing that won't die? A thing that won't die.
Oh, okay. Well, there it is.
You and I going to spend some quality Star Trek time this summer, my friend.
Saying that for 100 episodes
this
also.
This is your summer for Star Trek. OG summer for Star Trek.
I tend to disagree, but that's okay.
Nope. I swear to God, you're getting the card taken away until you watch the. It's so few episodes we could finish it in a week.
Okay. Why don't we talk about NBC a little bit?
All right, fine.
We talked about NBC a little bit last episode, where we announced that Knight Rider is getting its own original series based off of that movie.
We did talk about that in episode 98, didn't we?
We did. And now we have some information about some other shows going to be on NBC. NBC, very sci-fi heavy going forward. I mean, you're going to have Knight Rider, which definitely kind of falls in that sci-fi realm. You've got Medium, Chuck, also on NBC. You've got Heroes on NBC. You got a couple of new shows coming out, too. Like, how about Fear Itself? Which is kind of like, I guess it's like sci-fi horror-ish, but it's definitely in our genre. It's a new horror anthology series by the people who brought you the Masters of Horror.
Right.
We also have Chuck and Heroes, like I mentioned. We have My Own Worst Enemy, which is a new television show starring Christian Slater, where... I know it's
already
ridiculous.
Good.
Yeah, Christian Slater is going to be playing a gentleman, Henry Spivey. He's an efficiency expert and married father of two.
Could be Spivey.
Somebody with a personality disorder.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he's an operative and
far fetched.
Exactly. And Merlin coming in winter of 2009. So that's next year.
So that's
now.
A mid-season replacement.
Yep.
Likely that they're not very confident in it, but they want to get their money out of whatever they've already produced.
Merlin will star Colin Morgan from Doctor Who. In addition to
which one is Colin Morgan? Is that the invisible guy from Heroes?
No, that's a different name. I'll tell you who Colin Morgan is in 1 second. But also Anthony Stewart Head is going to be in that show as well. He was Giles on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
He's going to be in the
Merlin
show?
Yeah.
Oh. Who's he
going
to
be? Matt Weyer.
It doesn't say.
Is he going to be Merlin?
He might be, although I doubt it.
While Matt is looking this up, let me remind you that we're giving away yet another prize pack courtesy of nerdsrule.com, nerdzrule.com, and the Nerd World Order. This month's prize pack is going to be the I Am Legend DVD as well as a Nerds Rule NWO t-shirt.
Wow, it's a nice prize pack.
Well, it's, you know.
Who's the winner?
We like the NWO.
We'll cover the winner later.
Oh, okay. We have a winner, though.
We've got a winner.
All right.
Matt,
nice.
Do you have a winner?
I never have a winner, but there's more coming from NBC. We're not going to go through all of them now, but you have a lot to look forward to. The other thing to know about NBC, Heroes Origins. Yeah, that's dead.
Dead, really?
Yeah, it's dead.
Wow, what happened? Any word as to what happened? Kevin Smith was supposed to do that.
It died.
Well, thank you very much, Irving.
But Heroes is going to be returning in September.
Well, that's good. I still don't have that season one DVD.
Okay.
I can't believe I don't have that yet. But I'll tell you what I'm going to have in July.
What?
I am going to have American Flag Volume 1 hardcover.
Okay. Do I care about American Flag Volume 1 hardcover?
American
I do.
Flag
okay.
is Howard Chaykin's book from the 80s.
Right.
And it's never been collected. It's being collected by Dynamic Forces. They announced this book 4 years ago, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. 4 years ago, they announced that they were collecting American Flag and putting it out in hardcover form, and now it's finally coming out.
Okay, well, that's good for fans.
They said that since the original art is long gone, no longer available, they had to take time to get each page. And then, like we talked about, remember we talked about in episode 98, we talked about how in Camelot 3000, they're kind of modernizing the coloring.
Yes,
they're doing the same thing with American Flag. So, of course, it's taken a really long time to do that, to get nice, crisp images, to clean them up. You know, it was going on the assumption that this was just going to be kind of scan, reprint, and ready to go. But nobody wanted it that way. Everybody wanted it to be something special, something cool, because it's Howard Chaykin. It's kind of the, what'd you call it, the flagship. Oh, no, that would be kind of cliche because it's called American Flag. Let's call it the cornerstone of Howard Chaykin's career.
Okay.
I mean, really, it was a great independent book in the 80s. And it was originally published by First Comics. And the first collection will include the first 14 issues of the series. as well as an unseen 12-page story written and drawn by Chaykin, a foreword by Michael Chabon,
right,
and an afterword by one fan of this program, Jim Lee.
Wowee.
Yeah. I you know, I know you're being sarcastic right now.
No,
I
think I'm only being partially sarcastic. I'm excited about this. It's a great piece of comic book history. It's great to see it get its due. It's great to see someone taking the time to painstakingly make sure that it's appropriate for release, and good for them.
If it's any consolation, if I knew what you were talking about, I would be sarcastic.
And there it is.
And what did you call that if you weren't being sarcastic? American Flag, Volume 1 hardcover, coming in July from Dynamic Forces.
Let's talk a little bit about Dollhouse. You know what Dollhouse is?
Yeah, it's that thing in Fantastic's room.
No, silly goose.
Oh, you got me good. I'm already scared, though. Is Dollhouse a horror?
No, it's not a horror.
Oh, thank God.
No. Is it Welcome to the Dollhouse, that really, really awful play?
No, sir. Okay. It is the new project for Fox, by one Joss Whedon.
J-O-S-S.
I didn't say Josh.
I know.
I said Joss.
S.
Joss Whedon is doing a new show for Fox. It's called Dollhouse. It's going to star Eliza Dushku.
S.
Any, taking any, are we taking a pool on how long this one lasts?
Well, I'm surprised that he's even doing anything with Fox again. I was pretty positive that he was done with Fox. But from what I understand, as opposed to how Fox has handled some other projects in the past, both his and other people's, they're actually going to produce a good chunk of shows in advance.
Right.
And then release them all, hopefully.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do.
Not cut it off mid-season.
We're going to be innovators right now.
Start a pool?
We are going to... No. We are going to be the super fans of Dollhouse, but we need a name.
Okay.
So, and Dollhouseians is stupid.
Okay.
So, listen, Big Kev's Geek Stuff fans, we do not want to be left in the back seat on this one. We want to come up with the name. We want it to be heard here first. We want to come up with the super fan name, like the Brown Coats for
I'm not saying it. I got some news in the next bit of this show that we could talk about them. I'm not saying it.
The about Firefly that was created in the movie Center. I'm serious. Send in your ideas now. Super fans of the Dollhouse. What should we be called? And we're going to get it. We're going to flush it all over the place so that we are the first ones to call ourselves that thing.
Okay.
Can you give me a quick synopsis of the premise, the premise?
I could. It's about a group of all female operatives.
This is hot.
Who essentially are dolls, because every time they go out on a mission, when they come back, they are completely wiped as far as their memory is concerned. And then they're reprogrammed with a new persona, a new character, and they go out and they do their thing.
Oh,
so
my
they could
God.
Be...
Matt, you realize that this is the story of Cammy and Julie and Junie and the rest of, and I use these air quotes because they were called the dolls in the Street Fighter Alpha series?
Yeah, of course. But there's been 100 stories like this before. So I don't know if the premise is that original. Joss Whedon, of course, exciting. Eliza Dushku is the lead. Echo is the character's name. And now Olivia Williams has been added to the cast. Olivia Williams was Moira McTaggart
in
X-Men The Last Stand.
Does Elijah play all of the dolls like they're clones, or are they all going to be different?
No, I think there's going to be a bunch of them. She's just the lead one.
Excellent.
Olivia Williams was also in, wasn't she also sort of the love interest in Rushmore?
Yes, maybe, I don't know.
I think
so.
She was.
The rest of the super
She's
fans,
hot.
Led by us here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff, will have right. the opportunity to see 11 more hot women in addition to Eliza Dushku.
But here's what I need. Here's what we need.
Yes.
We need the name of the super fans, like Brown Coats, you know, or Trekkies, or I want to coin that phrase.
Okay. No, I'm no good at coming up with creative things.
Yes, I'm well aware of
you
that.
You said, let's call the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and I agreed.
Wow, you really dropped the ball on that one.
Well, that's a Jedi mind trick at work. It works on the weak-minded.
I kick myself every day.
Why don't we stick with Joss Whedon for a moment, though?
Okay.
Why don't we talk about that TV show, which I refuse to name.
Dollhouse?
Play that godforsaken clip.
Dollhouse?
No, not Dollhouse.
Angel?
No.
Earth Buffy? 2?
No.
I think it's Earth 2.
2. Did they ever release Earth 2 on DVD?
I don't think so, but that was a good show. I liked that show.
I did too. I think somebody had a boot of it once. I almost bought it.
That TV series starring Nathan Fillion, Jewel State, Alan Tudyk, Marina Bakarin.
Damn, because I was trying to think of the name that started Nathan Fillion, the driving, what was it, Drive?
Drive.
Damn, I couldn't remember it.
Summer Glau, et cetera. We'll be getting a special edition Blu-ray release at some point later this year. It will have some special features that was not available in the original box set.
Wait, now, is this the TV show?
It is the TV show.
Oh, okay.
So it's a special edition of the TV show released exclusively for Blu-ray.
Okay, got it. And it will have special features.
New special features. Some new commentary.
Crap.
I know, I said the same thing. This is going to force me to do things that I didn't want to do. I might actually just go out and buy the set and just sit it on my shelf.
You know what the worst part about Blu-ray is going to be for Kev? What? You see that system that he's finally got going in the library with all of the DVDs nicely aligned and they all just fit perfectly? Well, now Blu-ray is going to throw a different shape disc into this fray. And you're going to have to deal with that, sucker.
I think they're smaller, the box.
They are.
Height-wise. So they will fit on my shelves fine.
They are.
And I think they stick out a little further. I think they're a little bit wider.
I don't know. I don't have any.
But Blu-ray won, so I guess I should get a blue. I want a Blu-ray player for stuff like that.
Yes.
Right? A. B, I want a Blu-ray player that features the upscaling for regular DVDs.
Okay.
So those are the two criteria, and that I can change resolution while something is running, that I don't have to stop the disc and go to four different menus that I currently have to do in order to change the resolution of my player.
When's your DVD player built?
Like
the
2 80s? Years ago. It's a I hate it. I hate it. But
why don't we move on with this show?
Move it on, baby.
Do you have anything else, or should I talk about Hugh Jackman?
I have plenty of stuff, but you can go ahead.
Hugh Jackman going to write a comic book.
Ooh, the lolly.
Yes, Virgin Comics. Jesus Christ, could you be a little bit more restrained?
I'm sorry, I was just so
You know why they make
by,
fun of us in that
Hugh
video?
Jackman.
Oh, that was a great video.
Good God. Virgin Comics is, again, yanking somebody who has nothing to do with comics into comics, much like they did with Jenna Jameson in the Shadowhunters book that she's doing.
I did a cursory review of that comic book.
Oh, yes?
And my assessment is that it didn't have to be Jenna Jameson.
No.
I mean,
well, certainly that makes it sellable. Fantastic.
Well, having her on the cover, yeah. But the interior was actually better than any other Jenna Jameson production I've ever seen.
Well, you haven't seen the right production, sir. I'll loan you a few Jenna Jameson productions. Like her upcoming movie that's coming out next week. Do you know what the name of that movie is?
And I don't care.
Zombie Strippers. I swear to God.
Matt, can you give me a quick synopsis or the premise of that one?
Of Zombie Strippers? Yeah, I'll pull it up while Kev's going.
Okay. Hugh Jackman is going to be writing a comic book for Virgin Comics with Mark Guggenheim.
Okay.
And it's called Nowhere Man. Hugh says that he had so much fun in the graphic novel world with the X-Men franchise that he wanted to get even more involved, and he's so excited to be working with Virgin and Mark to create compelling character and story that will hopefully make it to the big screen.
Wow.
So he's using comics as a testing ground for big screen stuff, so he's not unlike pretty much everyone else on the planet. But again, Hugh Jackman, with his association to X-Men, is obviously going to make this book somewhat sellable, at least. Maybe it'll be good. I don't know what else Mark Guggenheim has written. Should I know what else Mark Guggenheim has written?
No, but what you can know is that in the not-too-distant future, a secret government reanimation chemovirus gets released into conservative Sart, Nebraska, and lands in an underground strip club. As the virus begins to spread, turning the strippers into super zombie strippers, the girls struggle with whether or not to conform to the new fad, even if it means there's no turning back.
La la la. Mark Guggenheim has written Wolverine, Amazing Spider-Man, and Flash, but is also the writer and creator of the ABC series Eli Stone.
Okay.
That's an interesting series.
That's who Mark Guggenheim is.
I don't know if I love it or I hate it, and I've seen it maybe two or three different times.
Right. Well, it's this guy is the one that's going to be working with Hugh on his comic Nowhere Man from Virgin. I got to say, it's something that I do not like, and I've said this before, about yanking names in to do books simply to sell books, much in the way that Marvel pulled in Straczynski and then pulled in Joss to do that X-Men book.
I don't mind it much because I find that most of the people who are successful in movies, say somebody like Leonardo DiCaprio, and I've seen some of the work that he's done, and I trust his other work as a producer and a director, so I don't really think that Hugh Jackman can do something that's really bad. He's got to know what makes a good story. It's whether or not it ends up being a good comic book that's sellable.
Well, I hope you're right. I don't know. I'll give it a shot. I'm sure Virgin is going to send us a copy over to review. I look forward to paging through it. I don't know. We'll see. Let's talk about DVDs for this week.
Okay, let's.
From the guy that brought you Knocked Up and Superbad, John C. Reilly, Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
I want to see that.
I do too. Now, this is kind of a parody of musical biopics that have come out in the last few years, like Walk the Line, obviously, which was the Johnny Cash biopic, and
right.
things like Ray.
Sure, sure.
And maybe to a lesser extent, Dreamgirls, which was kind of a sort of pseudo biopic of the whole Motown sect there. This film has a 2-disc special unrated edition and a ton of exclusive features, deleted scenes, full song performances, Christmas songs, Cox sausage commercial with outtakes, the making of. It's really rather a nice package for what I hear is a very funny film.
Yeah, for also not having seen it, I've heard a lot of good things about it and that it was a passed up movie of the year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I want to see it.
And also coming out this week, Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood is the 2-time Academy Award winner. It actually won for Best Actor for Daniel Day-Lewis. And Best Cinematography for this year. 2-disc Collector's Edition features trailers, sequences, dailies, a documentary about the time period. Of course, it's Daniel Day-Lewis almost exclusively comes out for period pieces
right.
These days. And this one is no different. Talks about prospectors in California at the turn of the century who find oil.
I don't know.
It's pretty much the same story as the Beverly Hillbillies.
Kind of. It sounds that way.
Nice. It's
directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, who you might know
Gold.
From such films as
Black Gold.
Paul Thomas Anderson, anything?
No.
PTA, nothing? Either one of you?
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
Magnolia.
Paul Thomas Magnolia. Thank you very much.
Punch Drunk Love.
Adam Sandler film Punch Drunk Love.
Am I missing another one?
No, you can stop. That's okay. Good enough. So there it is. There Will Be Blood, 2-disc special edition. You should check it out. And was there any other?
A very important one, sir.
Did I miss one?
The Water Horse, Legend of the Deep.
From the people that brought you Chronicles of Narnia.
No,
the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
We don't have to talk about Water Horse. But what we can talk about is NECA getting some DC licenses.
Okay.
Now, okay. There's a little company that used to be called Monogram.
Yes.
Or that is called Monogram.
Monogram. Sure.
They put out the little busts, collectibles, that kind of stuff.
Paperweights. They weren't busts.
Well, right, yeah.
And I think they did those banks, that really cool Batman bank.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So now all of the DC stuff that was with Monogram.
Right.
Now with NECA.
Now with NECA?
Now with NECA.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
I don't know. But
Fantastic
NECA picked
something?
It up and.
Wait, Fantastic had something.
Okay.
There.
I was going to accuse NECA of raiding their warehouse and stealing it.
Oh, as opposed to actually getting the license and producing their own product.
Yes.
Very.
Kevin.
Very creative.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
That's why I withheld.
Boo. In addition to that, or as part of that license, they are going to be doing some stuff for Batman The Dark Knight, including two bobbleheads, one Batman, one the Joker.
Really?
Yep. I have some images of those. I have to shoot them your way.
Yes, please do.
Because for you to ignore in your inbox.
Yeah, you don't ever actually check your email.
That's not true. I check my email. I just don't always have a response.
You may want to be. You may want to call Gmail and see if your mailbox is still working correctly.
I have a. Don't I have a Joker bobblehead in Studio A?
Probably somewhere along the lines that there has been one before.
Yeah,
hasn't there?
Yeah, definitely. I thought he was up there too. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I don't see him, but.
You know the Joker display in Studio A is moving to a different part of Studio A?
I didn't know that, no.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's moving over by the turtle tank.
Okay.
The turtle tank.
Okay. What?
What else you have,
like
Kev?
Pets in Studio A. Let's talk about comics released this week.
Okay, let's.
Simon Dark, number 7. I keep saying it. I think it's a good book. If you're not checking it out... Steve Niles and Scott Hampton, you're just doing yourself a disservice, I got to tell you.
You should read Why the Last Man.
Ooh. What did I say?
I would concur.
Give me a fucking copy of Why the Last Man. Countdown to Final Crisis number 3. Only two more of these to find out what the heck all this big crisis stuff is, what's going to happen.
Yep.
Apparently, there's a lot of crazy shit going to happen that I don't even want to guess at. Mark Millar and John Romita Jr. bring us Kick-Ass number 2. This is a... rather sickeningly violent hero story. I can't even describe this book. It's
okay.
Crazy. But you should pick it up. It's called Kick-Ass. I think that should say enough about it right there. Serenity, Better Days, number 2 of 3,
yay!
Has come out from Dark Horse. Of course, if you're a fan of Serenity or
the TV show that it was based on.
Right, then you should pick that up. Scud, the Disposable Assassin, number 23. One more, dude.
Did you know that at New York Comic Con, Shocker is going to have some sort of Scud exclusive?
Yes, now I hear that is a PVC.
It is a PVC, and unarticulated.
Some people think that it's going to be the action figure, which isn't coming out for a few more months.
No, actually, in the release that I read, they specifically made a point to say that it was unarticulated and it was not the action figure.
Right.
Now, in addition to that, this week, Terry Moore's Echo number 2 came out.
Right.
So you should check that out if you're a Terry Moore fan. I think it's much better than the first one. I think it kind of fleshes things out a little bit, and it seems to be going in a direction. So
I don't know.
I like it. But I like Terry Moore. So.
You do. Wizard issue 200.
Should I care about that?
Yeah.
I remember Wizard issue 1.
And here's why you should care.
I remember how excited I was when it came out.
No, you really should. I leafed through that, and there's some good stuff in there.
Okay.
That's a quality issue.
Let me say this also. Let me jump or leap and springboard off of what Fantastic is saying. If you like crappy lists... of things
which we do
that associate with our industry, this is the issue for you. There is so many lists in this thing.
I can think of a crappy list that has 98 things on it.
What's that? I don't get it. What do you mean?
I told you the listeners are smarter than he is.
Go ahead.
Oh, I get it. 98.
Matt, you've got to perform for the listeners, not for Big Kev.
I'm sorry.
Our favorite stories, greatest unfinished piece of art, which isn't a list, 200 greatest comics of our history, Last Man Standing, my first Wizard cover, 50 events that rocked comics, Wizard's best art commissions, Wolverine, a visual evolution. Of course, there's a gazillion 10-page ultimate trivia quiz. Our favorite stuff, a list of dead guys, 20 most valuable comics, 1991 to now. It's list after list after list of stuff that's happened between 1991 and 2008.
And the MSRP on this issue, Kev?
$5.99.
And worth every penny.
Well, I don't know that I'd go that far, but it could provide you a good read. I'll tell you what part I really liked. There's a section in here called Our Favorite Stories. Some of the Wizard staff members, including Mike Cotton, Andy Serwin, and Brian Cunningham, just to name a few, tell their favorite stories that they've heard over the years about cards at Kevin Smith's house, interviewing Frank Miller. It's really kind of a very personal sort of group of stories. They're very short. They're a quick read. I actually like the out of all the stuff that I've read in it so far, that's what I like the most.
I found it very sensual as well.
Have you seen the 13-inch deluxe DC Direct Batman The Dark Knight figures that are coming out?
Yes.
The Joker and Batman?
I have.
They look amazing.
Amazing.
First of all, it goes without saying that the Joker looks great. Because I haven't quite seen something where he looks bad yet. So I'm very happy. He looks fantastic. Great. Kudos. Thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Oodalali.
Oodalali. But Batman actually looks really good. I've had some issues with some of the Batman pieces that have come out, movie-related.
Okay. Right.
For some reason, the way the costume is designed and the way the cowl is designed on the costume...
It kind of makes his face look chubby.
It looks chubby or like no neck, kind of, yeah. Or like maybe he's pulling his shoulders up. But this one actually looks really good. The way the cape is billowing off the shoulders into his back, the cowl, it's just a really good representation of the new armor. By the way, it's a new suit from the first film, kind of redesigned, kind of shiny, kind of like it. Just a great representation. So kudos to DC Direct for really capturing that well now.
Uh-huh.
What do you have there from DC Direct? Some stuff, right, to talk about today?
I just want to mention these really quick. This book came out quite a while back called Trinity. Do you remember it? It was Matt Wagner's legendary retelling of Batman and Superman's very first meeting with Wonder Woman.
You know, I do remember it because Matt Wagner was tied to it.
Right, right.
Because, you know, I'm not a huge DC fan, but Matt Wagner I happen to be a fan of.
Right,
so.
And so now they've produced a series of figures, DC Direct has, in conjunction with that book. And they're out now. Four figures in the line, Trinity. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Ra's al Ghul. Now, let's just take them as they come.
Now, wait a second. Real quick, before we start.
Okay.
Are they based on his artwork?
You know...
Because he's got a very distinct artwork.
Very
you look
distinct...
at the Batman black and white that he did, if right. You know Grendel and are familiar with Grendel. I mean, you know who Matt Wagner is when you see his stuff.
I want to say it's partially based on his work. I want to say that
inspired by his work?
That would be the word I think would best describe it, would be inspired by. There's four pieces in the line, as I said. Batman and Ra's al Ghul were sculpted by Mike Harding. Superman and Wonder Woman by Annie Burkholz.
Okay.
These are guys that we talk to all the time, always at the DC booth at one of 35 events that we see DC people at throughout the year. I gotta say, I'm a little on the fence about these, and this would now be the second time I'm on the fence about these a little. They're a little stylized because the book's art was stylized, and they're trying to, like you said, take inspiration from that book for these characters. Batman comes with goggles and some sort of listening device, it looks like. It's a typical Batman. I thought his eyes were rather big, and his frame was rather small. And slight.
Okay, so his eyes are big.
Yeah. The eyes on the cowl are the white eyes.
Right, right, okay.
And I think that they look much larger than I've seen them represented.
I'm going to have to see it up close when you get a moment.
I'd like to see the listening device.
It you know what it looks like? It looks like a dish on a stick. That's what it looks like.
Okay.
He'll pass it off to you.
So the only thing that I could say about the eyes, I don't necessarily think that they're big, but I will say that they're Matt Wagner.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to say. Right.
If that makes sense.
Right. So there are elements of Matt Wagner's art here. I don't know that it's a full translation per se.
Right.
But it's certainly, and I thought his frame was a little slight. But then again, taking into consideration the fact that we're talking about younger versions of these characters, I don't say that that's entirely inappropriate. Let's move on.
Okay.
The other figure that was sculpted by Paul Harding is Ra's al Ghul.
Okay.
This is a great Ra's al Ghul figure.
Sure.
It's kind of classic, him in the cape and the vest and with his chains hanging with his clock and so on. And he also comes with a glove with the hawk or bird on it. Or
the bird
whatever.
Of prey.
Yes.
Whatever it may be.
This billionaire eco-terrorist is against everything Batman stands for. Well, yeah, that's the flavor text on the back.
Okay.
If you don't know who Ra's al Ghul is, you are not a fan of anything.
Well, he was in the first Batman Begins film.
That's
true. He's the lead villain.
That's true. And this is the comic representation. I think this may be the best one in the line, I think.
Okay, I can see that.
As a standard display of that character. On to the first of the Andy Bergholtz sculpts. This is Wonder Woman, and I like Wonder Woman. This is Wonder Woman's sword and shield. She's wearing the shorts, not the skirt, but she is wearing kind of that Amazon armor skirt, which isn't really armor. It's just kind of hanging pieces of metal. Sword and shield included. It's a nice sculpt. I see him. I'm gonna pass this one off to you as well.
Okay.
I see Matt Wagner in this one also.
I'm liking these more and more with each one that you pull out.
Really? See, I don't
is that
see,
right?
I, don't
I like
see,
these.
I don't see him in there as much.
See, I do. I see him in that one as much as I see him in the face of Batman, the way that he's done the eyes in Batman, as we mentioned earlier.
It's also the shape of the head. The shape of the head is reminiscent of Grendel's head, I think.
Right, yeah. That, like I said, like we've been saying, inspired by the art of Matt Wagner, certainly, if not a direct... I don't think they've achieved an Alex Ross quality of translation between Alex's 2D work and this 3D representation.
Okay, that's fair enough.
That said, I can see the inspiration, which is a good thing. And finally, the last piece in the line, it's Superman... And I have to say, he's probably my least favorite in the line.
Well, he's top-heavy, if that's possible for a male character.
Yeah, he's kind of small-legged and really rather humongous up top.
Yeah, like even the S looks odd. The S looks big.
It's really, he's really, again, stylized. You can see Matt Wagner in this. But it just, as a figure, it just is, it's just kind of odd.
And there's something funky going on with that arm articulation at the elbow also. There's a funky cut going on there too.
I didn't notice.
But anyway, it's overall, it's not a bad figure.
Fantastic.
I love this Superman figure.
I like
the Superman. I like the Batman. The Ra's al Ghul, okay. I think that the Wonder Woman is the weakest piece in this set, primarily due to the size of the neck in relation to the little head joint.
Don't forget, she's Amazonian.
I understand that.
Now, why do you love the Superman figure? That's what I want to know.
No, it doesn't make sense. He is too big on top, but just, I don't know, just something about it I like.
Okay,
that's
fine.
Has a very
hard
quality to describe why I like it.
You know, it's like anything else that we talk about on this program. Your likes and tastes are going to dictate what you like. You know, because I don't like the Superman, Fantastic likes the Superman, and you're kind of on the fence about the Superman.
Right.
I guess. You can see three different people, three different takes on the same piece.
Sure.
I suggest, like I always suggest, you go out, check out these figures, go over to DC Direct online, whatever the website is. Google DC Direct. It's the first one that comes up. Check the figures out. Go to your local store. Check them out as they actually look like. If you like these, you should pick these up. I picked them up because I was a fan of the book, and I like anything Matt Wagner, even if it's only inspired by Matt Wagner. I'm still on board.
Okay.
And there it is. Trinity from DC Direct, four characters.
I have one more thing I want to talk about real quick.
All right.
Can we do that real quick?
Oodalali.
It involves, you know, that's my word.
Why? What? Hey, person who thinks that only he says sir.
It's my word, oodalali.
Whatever. It's not your word. It's fucking Robin Hood's word from Disney.
But on this show, it's my word.
It's not really a word either. It's more a bunch of syllables put together that make a noise.
Are we getting oodalali on the shirts or
no? Let's talk a little bit about World of Warcraft and a bit of a legal battle they're dealing with right now.
Uh-oh.
No, they're not getting sued. They are the ones suing.
Whom are they? Are they suing Korea?
No.
For gold mining?
They're suing this company that creates...
Gold farming?
Or that's created this kind of technology. It's called Glide.
Okay.
Okay? And it's not just used for Warcraft. It's used for any MMO.
MMO.
All right? And pretty much Blizzard is saying that this software infringes upon the agreement, the user agreement, the end user license
terms of service
that you sign or that you agree to when you play the game.
Right.
And what this does is it allows you to play the game without being there.
Whoa. And that's a bad thing?
Yeah. Well, Warcraft has, Blizzard has shied away from this from the beginning.
Okay.
That's why they restrict the way you can run macros, and that's why it's in the end user agreement that you can't do these type of things. And
where could one say, get this software?
Well, I'm not going to give out the website, but if you do a search online for MMO Glider program, you could find it. But pretty much what it does is it allows you to take your character, program a series of commands into the character, so right. attack and loot type things.
Right.
And then you also, what you do is you set perimeter points. Okay?
Right.
So let's say you're in Tanaris, for example.
Okay.
Right outside of, what's that right there? Gadgetzan. Right? So let's say you're out there. And what you do is you walk out into the middle of the desert. And you walk to a spot, you create a point, and then you walk another couple hundred steps and you create a point.
Right.
And you do this until you complete a circle.
Right.
And then you go back to the first point and you launch this little thing. And pretty much what your character does is it walks the points.
Right.
And attacks and kills and loots.
Anything it comes
with, yeah, and it gets specific to it. You could do very specific types of attacks, and it's pretty. I mean, it's an interesting software, but it does. It does clearly infringe upon the end user agreement that Blizzard has set up.
We didn't have any problems with that when we were doing it in Star Wars.
No, we didn't. But, you know, when we were doing it in Star Wars, it was a little bit different because...
it was a macro.
Yeah, it was a macro, but we weren't farming experience so much as we were farming gold, I guess. Not that that makes credits, it any sir. Better, or credits. Not that that makes it any better, but... I don't know. I still kind of felt shady about doing it then also, but you can find it. It's out there.
Kind of a mid-level place.
Yeah.
And just kind of.
We used to do it in Moena all the time.
Yeah, we did. I mean, I'm talking about in World of Warcraft, go to like a mid-level place, something that you're like 10 or 15 levels above. Just set out a parameter around any humanoid complex and you're going to make a mint. Going to make a mint doing that. What's that website again?
I don't actually have the website. I'm not giving it out.
Okay.
But it's if you look up Glider, I believe is the name of the software, or look up MMO Glider in Google, you'll find it.
Not playing World of Warcraft? Why don't you come on over to the Kieran Tor server, create a character, and you can play with me, OG. Who else is on there? Mike Abyss Prime, Pervert Ken. A whole host of guys in the
Starman is in there.
Starman, yeah.
A couple other listeners are in
right.
the guild.
In the Geek
Larrick,
Stuff
I believe,
Guild.
Is in our guild as well.
Right, in the Geek yeah. Stuff Guild. And you want to give World of Warcraft a try, drop us an email. We'll send you over a free trial. How about them apples?
I don't know, Will. How about them apples? Applesauce, bitch.
Hunting season.
What do you say we give something away?
Ooh, can we?
Oh, okay.
So it's that time of a month.
It's your time of the month, fantastic.
This thing off my head. It's that time of the month again. We're giving away the Nerd World Order, nerdsrule.com prize pack. This month's prize pack contains an I Am Legend DVD as well as a NWO Nerd World Order t-shirt. Are you ready? I'm ready. Spin the wheel, Matt. No, keep going.
No,
stop. Slow down. It's got to go tick, 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 tick.
So this instant stop. Tick, just slap your hand on tick, the wheel.
Tick.
I rolled some dice earlier anyway, so forget what the wheel says, because Perry Christian of Indianapolis, Indiana is the winner of I Am Legend on DVD as well as a Nerd World Order t-shirt.
All right, Perry.
That's congratulations,
all,
Perry.
That's all courtesy of nerdsrule.com, NERDZ rule.com. And next week's prize pack, next month's prize pack will contain the Alien versus Predator Requiem DVD
Ooh.
As well as a Nerd World Order t-shirt.
Nice.
One day I'm going to
That's my
that.
Word.
Nice? No, it's not your word.
Nice is my word
no,
on
that's,
the show.
That's a generic word. Can we end this segment, please?
And we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 99, Ketchup, part 2, Cutting the Mustard.
Ew.
Hello, dear listener, Kev here. When I'm looking for the absolute best in action figure news and entertainment, I look no further than action-figure.com. They have the latest news, information, pictures, and exciting stuff that I'm looking for. Once again, that's action-figure.com. Go there today.
Sorry, Adrian.
That's all right. Has anybody told him that his British accent is just, like, really terrible?
You should have heard his African-American.
God, blimey!
We're the Monster Squad.
Hey, this is Fred Decker, director of the Monster Squad.
This is Duncan Regehr, Dracula from Monster Squad.
This is Tom Noonan, plays Frankenstein in Monster Squad.
This is Tom Woodruff, Gillman from Monster Squad.
Hey, this is Andre Gower, Sean Crenshaw from the Monster Squad.
This is Ashley Bank, Phoebe from Monster Squad.
This is Ryan Lambert, I'm Rudy from the Monster Squad, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Wolfman's got nards! From the mouth of babes comes dynamite, the Monster Squad going to...
And we are back on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 99, Ketchup, part 2, Cutting the Mustard.
I'd like to protest that title.
Well, too bad. I've chosen it, and you're not the one that has to live with that choice. I am.
Okay.
And I was told mustard had to be involved in it because it was funny, and sometimes you just got to do some things to make your girlfriend
All right, what
happy.
Are we talking about?
We are talking about the single most incredible piece of Star Wars collectible product I have ever seen in my life.
Well, maybe for you. It's a lovely piece, though.
You're insane. I defy you to tell me a better piece after we discussed this, a better piece of Star Wars merchandise than this. We're talking about Sideshow Collectibles, quarter scale speeder bike.
And Scout Trooper,
yes, of course. Holy shit. It's maybe the biggest box I've ever seen come from Sideshow.
It is pretty ginormous. And it is a pretty, pretty, pretty piece.
That thing has got to be 3 feet long, would you say?
Probably just under 3 feet, but damn close.
So the bike is 3 feet tall. So quarter scale, we've been talking about it forever. You got to know by now. The quarter scale Star Wars stuff, and really all the quarter scale stuff coming from Sideshow, super detailed, super, super realistic products coming out. 1/4 of the actual size. So right. What we're getting here is a speeder bike and Scout, 1/4 the actual size.
Right.
So the Scout standing up, if he was standing up straight, probably be what? 18 inches tall.
18 inches tall.
Maybe, think?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Okay. That said, maybe not 18, but he'd definitely be fucking
16.
Tall.
Maybe close.
Is that what it is? If he's 6 feet tall and he's 1/4, it would
15
be
inches.
Is that what it is?
Right,
I don't do math. You're math.
All right. It's like 18 inches. 18 inches is right.
18 inches. Well, all right. I don't know about 18 inches, but it is absolutely incredible piece. It took me an hour to unpack him
That's
from the box.
More than 18 inches. But anyway.
I don't think so. Look at Vader.
Okay.
He's about 18 inches, but he's taller than them.
Okay.
1 hour it took me to carefully unpack this incredible piece from its box, which actually came inside of a box. It was a box inside of a box, and it was incredible. You put the Scout on. There's real cloth on parts of the Scout.
Or maybe it's like 16 inches.
Are we still going on about this? It's fucking huge is what it is.
I was doing the math.
There's real cloth in the center of the black parts of the armor are real cloth. Yes, what?
Why don't we talk about the bike first, and then we'll get on to the figure.
The bike is really heavy.
It's cast in heavyweight polystone and white metal,
and it's mounted to the base using what? Some sort of like real like sturdy metal like
it's
beam?
Like a steel rod
yeah.
that mounts it to the base. And what's good about it is that there's kind of you can turn it around on the base with no fear of it falling or anything else. And it's not sitting flat. In other words, like it was riding smoothly.
Right.
It's kind of actually tipped in one direction. And in that direction is one of the options you can choose. It's really kind of really the only option that really works, in my opinion. He's slightly the trooper, scout trooper, is slightly poseable.
Right. He has articulation actually in his arm, his one arm.
Right.
And
that,
in his
that
head.
Has the gun.
And in his head.
And in his head. So I have actually turned the head and the arm with the gun to point towards the tilt.
Right.
Right, which is kind of, it's kind of indicated that that's the way it should
now
be displayed.
Now that's the make sense pose, I think, for that figure. But the
right.
way that they show it, like on the box and whatnot, his face is actually facing forward. But it doesn't make sense because the bike is leaning like he's shifting his weight to the side because he's got his gun out and he's making a shot. So he wouldn't really be looking forward. He would be kind of looking off to the side. This is like when he's chasing Luke and they're side by side.
Right.
And he's looking to get that shot off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you got going on there.
And the bike is absolutely detailed down to the finest point of detailing that you can get. I mean, I'm talking scuffs on the surface.
Sure. And the burners in the back pop up. I
like,
thought
that remember
was really that? Nice.
Remember like the old Hasbro toy where every single person on the planet who owned one, except me, lost the little flaps because they
yeah.
came off? Flaps on this one don't come off, sir.
Nice. But they do move.
They do move. You can open them and they
close.
Should be open because the bike is in motion,
right.
so the flaps should be open. Comes with some sort of cloth pack on the back, kind of like a saddlebag.
Yeah, it's
sort
yeah,
of thing.
It's his pack, essentially. It's where he keeps
looks
his
looks like a blanket.
Oh, the blanket. I'm sorry. Yes,
yeah.
yeah.
No, I didn't mean part of the armor. The
yeah,
armor, of course,
armor.
Fully rendered, fully detailed armor.
Well, we should say the trooper is what? Part fabric, part polystone, part metal. I think is what it is.
Yeah, he's got it all, including cloth pouches,
right.
real cloth straps, you know, the kind of woven kind of straps. Fantastic something.
That thing is so huge. You know what I want to do? I want to take that to the hospital. Go to the maternity ward, steal a little baby, and put the baby on it. Because it would be the perfect size.
It would almost be the perfect size.
You could be
a
newborn
preemie,
baby.
Like a preemie.
Exactly. A newborn baby riding a speeder bike.
That would be pretty cool.
How cool would that be when you're like 18? Well, maybe.
It's got the gun underneath.
Right.
Which is not turnable. Because it's only supposed to fire forward.
Correct.
It's fully detailed and fully rendered, as we've said, from the base all the way up through and including the scout as well.
Well, it's got a polystone base, right? And it's got what? Some like busticated rock pieces or something
underneath
it? Yeah,
it's just like
it.
A piece of rock.
Yeah,
it's
he's,
Endor.
Well, he's hovering over Earth.
Endor kind of stuff.
And, right, the base is hand-numbered, individual. I think this was limited to 1,500 pieces.
I believe you're correct. So. And it retails for about
$800. $799.99.
Right. And are they sold out, too?
They
know?
Are sold
yeah.
out. If
you
go to the
Sideshow
website,
that?
You could put yourself on the wait list still, though.
Right. And, of course, you should go. You should put yourself on the wait list if you want this piece. You could also check out the second market sources that we mentioned from time to time. But you're going to want to get... There shouldn't be a Star Wars fan who doesn't have this. There shouldn't be an Imperial
oh, well, certainly
Army
Imperial
fan who doesn't
Army
have
fan.
This. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. An absolutely incredible Star Wars piece.
Well, I mean, really, right? Let's get down right to the character. And I'm
okay.
not talking about the piece. I'm talking about the character.
All right.
Really, the Scout Trooper armor is by far, in my personal opinion, one of the best...
Designs. Yes, absolutely agree with you there.
I mean, it's really kind of unique, and it does stray from what a lot of the other designs are. It's not just a simple variation on what we've seen. I mean, it really is unique.
Right.
He doesn't have full leg armor. You know, he's got more cloth, more exposed area than most of the other troopers, obviously because he's got to be sitting on a bike, so
right.
he needs more flexibility.
Right.
Just a great character.
Absolutely.
Design.
Let's talk about the fact that I think Sideshow has taken the next step here.
Okay.
And I think that this may be an achievement. I'm going to say this, and maybe they'll prove me wrong. I think this is an achievement that they cannot top. They have now produced something that has never been produced before. They have produced a Star Wars vehicle in the quarter scale.
Yeah, the fact that it's a vehicle is really, really huge.
I mean, let's be honest. Can you think really of another huge vehicle? I mean, you could do an Anakin on a speeder. I mean, you could do other characters on bikes. You could do, I mean, I guess you could do a Darth Maul on a Blood Fin.
That would be pretty impressive.
Would it though?
I think so.
I don't know.
Maybe you could do Chewie popping out of an AT-ST.
See, I don't think you could do AT-ST.
Too big. Way too big.
Way too big.
Yeah.
Way too big. But, I mean, what are other small vehicles? Are there other small vehicles? I think a speeder, like a land speeder, I think that's too big to accomplish.
No, if you...
In the quarter scale?
No, if you could do a speeder bike, you could do a land speeder.
You think so?
You could do that land speeder that's in New Hope? Yeah, I think so.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think
in
so?
Quarter
think
scale?
So.
Well, you'd have to think of it this way. He's one character sitting on there. How many people fit in the land speeder on Tatooine?
Two.
Four.
No, on the ones, the one that Luke and Ben were in, I believe it's only two.
Luke
it's only
and
one...
Ben and 3PO and R2 on the back, sir.
Okay.
That's huge.
Okay.
But I can't think of it. I mean, other than the Bloodfin or another, what I guess we'll call bike class.
Right. Which there were a few from the earlier movies.
Well, yeah.
And from Shadows of the Empire as well.
Is the Bloodfin right, Darth yeah. Maul's thing that comes up through
yes.
his legs and goes
yes.
in the
yes.
front?
Yes, and
see,
in the back.
That cannot be nearly as good as this because of the way that thing is designed. It just doesn't have the same design quality as this does. I like it too, but I actually have, I think, two of them. And one of them is a bank and one of them is some kind of figure.
Okay.
And it's just not, it doesn't have the same design quality. It's more just one sweeping shape. And when
right.
you look at it from the front, you see less because you just see his legs and his arms kind of sticking out. It doesn't mesh as well with the character.
It doesn't have the same aesthetic appeal.
Exactly.
So what do you do? You don't do, I don't think you do a what you call it bike like you were mentioning from Shadows of the Empire. What was that bike?
Swoop.
A swoop? I don't think you do it like some weirdo swoop.
I think it's too obscure.
So what do you do? Do you do Anakin on basically a bike just like this?
That was
a bike that was very similar. No, it was kind of like this, except it was more recumbent, right?
Honestly, if they're going to do another speeder bike, they should stick with Luke and Leia and call it at that.
You think
but
so?
I
Luke
do.
On a speeder bike?
And the Endor
Ooh,
outfit?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Ah, you know what they could do? Wicket on the speeder bike.
Now, see, that would be funny.
No, they wouldn't be. I think that Sideshow is smart enough to know not to do Ewoks.
I'm saying maybe they leave this as the vehicle. This is it. This is the quintessential vehicle. And if they want to do something a little bit different and a little bit unique, they do like a rebel soldier behind one of those gun turrets on Endor. Not Endor, Hoth.
I'm gonna counteract you. I'm gonna say quarter scale snowtrooper with cannon.
That's feasible.
It's okay.
That's certainly feasible.
Sure, that's feasible.
That's like, I mean, difficult but feasible.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it could be done. Definitely.
Yeah. All right, that's one way to go, I guess.
You know what I'd like to see? Luke on Hoth under the belly of the AT-AT, but somehow the belly is suspended from the rope, a la Tron over there.
All right.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
What about if they did Han on a Tauntaun? Not a vehicle, but a mount.
Ah, they haven't done that?
As a 12-inch figure Hasbro did years ago, it was awesome. It was the Ark of the Covenant of Star Wars collectibles
right.
when it came out.
Do you
remember that?
Didn't they do a Dewback at 1.2? A huge Dewback at 1.2? Didn't someone do that?
Did Kenner do one of those in 12-inch?
Someone did, I thought.
Not
or a Bantha? Maybe it was a Bantha.
Not 12-inch.
I was a small Bantha, right?
They did 3 3/4 Bantha. They did 3 3/4 Dewback.
But tell me, Han on a Tauntaun. Could be feasible.
Yeah, that's a
that
good
could
idea.
Be feasible. Could be,
and would be badass.
Ah, but it's not as good as Luke in a Tauntaun.
I don't think we're gonna see that. Yeah, that's the exclusive one. Yeah, has goo in the stomach. I don't know. I'm looking at the speeder bike, and I'm wondering if Han on a Tauntaun is feasible.
In
quarter scale.
Well,
gotta be. I'm holding my hand up to what has to be at least 3.5 feet tall.
I don't think it would have to be that tall.
Come on. If Han is standing next to the Tauntaun. Look at those scenes in Empire before he hops up.
How much taller was the Tauntaun's head than Han when he was standing next to him?
Tall.
Okay. I don't remember it being quite that tall.
Put up some visual reference for the listeners to look at.
So here's another baseline. Take the speeder bike rider on the speeder bike and prop it upwards, and I'd add a couple inches for the head and, you know, the legs being wider.
Well, there are other quarter scales that we can measure against. I'm telling you,
it's just shy of 3 feet. A
quarter scale figure has got to be like this. Has got to be like 2 and change tall. Let's have to be around figures. Let's say 2 feet tall. Yeah. It would have to be similar to Aquaman's seahorse.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Storm.
That's bigger though.
Okay, but they could do. Lieutenant can do it.
Well, all right.
All right. So Han standing next to the Tauntaun.
Han
standing next to the Tauntaun.
Right.
The Tauntaun was probably about the head of the Tauntaun was probably about 2 feet taller than Han.
The bottom of his head, his chin.
No, because the top of Han's head is pretty much in line with the chin. Okay. So you have the length of the head. So I'm thinking like 1.5 to 2 feet.
All right.
Okay. So overall height would be just a little bit taller than the top of that speeder scout trooper's head sitting now. Right? Assuming Han was standing on the ground, a little bit taller. But it would be shorter this way. It wouldn't be as long because the Tauntaun isn't quite as long.
Kev right now is doing one of those extremely scientific measuring jobs where you hold two hands out or two fingers and then move them to some other location in space, trying to pretend to yourself and fooling yourself the whole time that you didn't move your fingers at all. And it really represents the same exact distance.
I was just trying to get an estimation.
So it wouldn't be quite as long, but it would be taller.
Right.
But if you're thinking about packaging wise, I think it could be done.
I don't know.
Think about it. Stand the speeder bike on its back, straight up. That's probably shorter than the Tauntaun, or taller than the Tauntaun.
Okay, but that said, let's talk about gross tonnage here.
Oh yeah, well it would weigh a ton.
There's no doubt.
But unless they didn't do them in polystone, they're going to do the Tauntaun in polystone.
What would you do them in?
No, it would be plastic covered in fur.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Something out of stone like that, or resin, or some other heavy material would be extremely heavy.
What I'm thinking is, we're talking about type of piece and scale of piece. We're not necessarily talking about material used to create said piece.
I think even if we can get past the, okay, scale-wise, we might be able to get it done. Once you hit what you're making of it, what you're making out of it, what you're making it out of.
The composition of it.
Right, right, right. Once you get to that, I think that's when it passes that point of being unfeasible to produce versus making money.
Okay. I'm not sure why, but okay.
Because any details that involve hair and fur like that, you know, that's going to be time intensive in both design and manufacture.
Okay.
So I think that drives the piece past the point of being, what's the word, profitable.
And this has been a truly geeky conversation brought to you by Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Dare I say, quite possibly the geekiest conversation we've ever had on the show.
I don't think it's the geekiest.
I think it's up there.
Well, let me tell you, it was all generated by Sideshow Collectibles. Go to SideshowToy.com. And check out the quarter scale speeder bike and scout available now. Get on the wait list if you want one. If you don't want one, you're doing yourself a disservice. When you see one live, you're going to fucking want one then. That's for sure. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. Completely, fully detailed, fully rendered. Cloth, polystone, real metal, some posable bits. Great base. Great. This is it. This is it. This is now the piece I personally am measuring all other Star Wars collectibles to. This is the one. Is it better than Sideshow's Biker Scout? Is it better than the Biker Biker Scout? That's what I'll be saying from now on to every Star Wars piece that's coming out, collectible wise.
Okay.
I'm flabbergasted. This has got to be collectible of the year. I'm going to put it down right now as collectible of the year.
Well, we know you love it, but I think we need to move on. Move forward.
Let's take a break and let's come back with the wrap up,
please.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, N-E-R-D-Z.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at nerdzrule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds rule!
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
We are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 99, catch up, part two, something about mustard.
Cutting the mustard.
What do we talk about tonight?
A lot of things.
We talked about Jonah Hex coming to the big screen from DC. So if you're a fan of that series, this is something you can look forward to. I have personally never read the series, although I am interested, so there it is. Maybe when I'm done with Why the Last Man, I'll get into Jonah Hex.
And speaking of Why the Last Man, Brian K. Vaughan's Why the Last Man coming to hardcover from DC. Each hardcover will cover two trade paperbacks, meaning five hardcovers will be needed to tell the entire 60-issue story.
Matthew McConaughey may be Magnum P.I., and Johnny Five is still alive.
Robin Moore, who was the author of the novel The Green Berets and the co-writer with Barry Sadler of the song Ballad of the Green Berets, died in February. And he also did Tales of the Green Berets, which featured art by legend Joe Kubert.
RoboSapien rebooted, coming to you, and NBC getting geeky, even though they canceled Heroes Origins.
I don't understand the canceling of Heroes Origins, but anyway... Star Trek Mirror Images from Scott and David Tipton and David Messina. This is going to tell you a little bit more about the Mirror Universe, Evil Kirk and so forth, how he rose to power. And more Star Trek stuff coming down the line.
Moira McTaggart joining the Dollhouse. And will that television show by Joss Whedon that's a sci-fi western be having a new DVD release exclusive to Blu-ray? Yes.
That was a long way to go just to avoid saying.
Yep. That's it.
American Flag, the Howard Chaykin classic, is finally, after 4 years, being released by Dynamite in the hardcover format, which will cover the first 14 issues of the 1980s series that was originally published by First Comics, with an additional 12-page story written and drawn by Chaykin. That's coming in July.
You too can cheat at World of Warcraft and potentially get your account erased and banned. Want to know how? Look up online for the Glider program.
And don't forget to join us on World of Warcraft. Kirin Tor server, Blue Devil, Light, and the rest of the gang. Hugh Jackman will be writing a comic for Virgin with Mark Guggenheim, who has written Wolverine, Amazing Spider-Man, Flash, and has also created and written the ABC series Eli Stone. His book will be called Nowhere Man, if I haven't mentioned that before, and it's coming soon from Hugh Jackman and Virgin Comics.
Four figures this week from DC Direct based on Matt Wagner's Trinity storyline. Series includes Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Ra's al Ghul.
And these are inspired by the artist of the book Trinity, right. Matt Wagner. Overall, I'd say we like them. Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's enough.
I like them.
What about DVDs this week?
Fantastic. Really liked them, which is something kind of unique and interesting.
Sure.
There Will Be Blood, winner of two Academy Awards this year, Best Actor for Daniel Day-Lewis and Best Cinematography, two-disc collector's set.
Uh-huh.
Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story in a two-disc unrated widescreen edition with many, many fabulous features. And there was a third one.
The Water Horse.
You want to skip the Water Horse?
I want to skip the Water Horse.
Comics to check out this week. Scud, the Disposable Assassin, number 23. This is the next one. 24 is the last issue, sir. You want to check this out.
Okay.
Serenity, Better Days, number 2.
Yay!
Kick-Ass, number 2, by Mark Millar and friend of the show, John Romita Jr. Final Countdown to Final Crisis, number 3. Simon Dark, number 7. Also check out the List-infused Wizard 200 with so many lists. There should actually be a list of the lists in this book.
And Echo, issue 2, by Terry Moore.
Right, I forgot about that one.
In segment 2 of tonight's episode, we discussed Sideshow Toys, Epic Grandiose, King of the Castle, quarter-scale speeder bike.
Quarter-scale speeder bike from Star Wars. Maybe the only vehicle you ever see done in this scale for consumer purchasing.
Sure.
And it is absolutely, I say it again, it is the Star Wars collectible by which other Star Wars collectibles should be measured.
Okay.
There's nothing else. There's nothing that comes close. I said this about the quarter scales in the past. That quarter scale Vader that lit up, fantastic piece. Absolutely fantastic piece. This blows that piece away.
Don't forget, you can check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com or by searching Geek Stuff in the iTunes Music Store.
And leave us a review while you're there.
Nah, they're bastards.
You know, if you insult them, I don't think we'll get a review.
Well, fine then. Also, we'll be appearing at New York Comic Con April 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Yes.
Coming up, NewYorkComicCon.com for more information about that show.
Right after my birthday, that is. And you can bring your Big Kev birthday presents to Comic Con. And you can give them to me live.
Don't encourage him.
What?
Also, next week, our very exciting, much anticipated, maybe not so much, episode 100.
Is that next week?
That is next week.
Are we doing anything special?
Oh, I hope so. That's the rumor.
It's crazy rumors crazy that keep going rumor. Around. Don't forget to dig us. Don't forget to check us out on the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Photo galleries for every episode. Don't forget to get the last, and I mean the last, we are down to a handful of the Melody Anderson Melody Anderson, Sam Jones commentary for the 1980 film Flash Gordon, special limited edition signed numbered disc signed by Sam and Melody, featuring video commentary, audio commentary, other fabulous things on that as well. You can also just get the audio download. You download it to your iPod or your whatever, run it on a thing. You listen to it while you're watching. It's like watching a movie with Sam and Melody, and that was a fun experience, I can tell
sure
you.
Sure was.
So go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, check that out. And fantastic. Do you have any final words for episode 99, Catch Up, Part 2, Cutting the Mustard?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Thundar, the Barbarian. The year 1994. From out of space comes a runaway planet, hurtling between the Earth and the Moon, unleashing cosmic destruction. Man's civilization is cast in ruin.
2,000 years later, Earth is reborn. A strange new world rises from the old. A world of savagery, super science, and sorcery. But one man bursts his bonds to fight for justice. With his companions, Ookla the Mock and Princess Ariel, he pits his strength, his courage, and his fabulous sun sword against the forces of evil. He is Thundar, the Barbarian.